We're not hearing anything. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills or looking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next 2 hours, they're going to be the views of Phil Turney, who was on the USS Liberty when it was attacked during the 1967 war, and of course a number of servicemen were killed, a number were injured. It was an attack by the Israeli military on an American ship of war. There's several unexplained things. First of all, why did Israel attack our ship? Number two, why, when on two occasions, the USS, the military, the U.S. Navy, wanted to send rescue planes and support planes to protect the Liberty, they were called back by orders in Washington, D.C. And then, of course, after the attack, why the sailors on board were warned never to tell the truth about what happened, never to let the American people know what happened. And the question is, what was this really all about? Well, we won't be able to answer all those questions this evening, but Phil was there. He went through this. He lived through this. And now, at long last, a number of the sailors who were on the USS Liberty are coming forward to tell the story of what happened that fateful day. And perhaps as we understand what happened that fateful day, we can begin to understand many of the events that have occurred in the United States since that time, and including, of course, the great tragedy we saw on September 11th, 2001, when almost 3,000 Americans were killed. Well, let's get right, though, to the USS Liberty, because that's where the story begins. Phil, thank you very much for being with us.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate it, you know, having me on the show this evening and taking the time to remember our fallen shipmates, all great Americans, great red-blooded young men that lost their lives at the hands of the government of Israel, June 8, 1967, in a premeditated, unprovoked slaughter of 34 American sailors on the high seas and the wounding of 170 for others, including myself.
All right, fine. Well, why don't you just give your background? Where was the ship? What was the date? What happened that day?
Okay. The background is we started out from Little Creek, or Norfolk, Virginia, and our duty station was off the west coast of Africa.
All right, fine. And you were an intelligence gathering ship, an electronic ship of some sort?
Yes, we were one of the most sophisticated intelligence-gathering ships at that time that existed in the world.
All right, fine. And, of course, how many men all told were there on board?
There were 249 souls aboard the Liberty.
All right, fine. And so you were how far off the shore? Were you off the shore of Egypt? Were you off the shore of the Sinai Desert? Where were you?
We were off the shore of the Sinai.
All right, fine. About how far offshore?
About 12.5 miles.
All right, fine. So what happened then that morning? Or was it morning or afternoon?
It was, we got on station at about 0600, which would be 6 o'clock in the morning, and our ship immediately became under surveillance by Israeli aircraft, surveillance aircraft. We could see the Star of David on their aircraft, so we know exactly who they were. They came so close to our ship that we could see the pilots. They waved at us, and we waved back. And this went on for approximately 6 to 7 hours of constant surveillance. At least 12 to 14 overflights of our ship by the government of Israel. The radio men picked up messages from the planes identifying us as American and friendly.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. All right. Well, our guest is Phil Turney, and we're talking about what happened that day. And, of course, it must have been then early afternoon. They'd been under surveillance. The Israelis knew they were there, had overflown the ships a number of times. Certainly, radio messages had been intercepted saying that they were friendly. This was a friendly ship. And so, and then what happened, Phil?
Well, this went on till about 2 o'clock after general quarters. We just got done with a general quarters drill. It was a chemical drill, and it was very, very hot out, and we were in chemical suits. But about 15 minutes after we secured from general quarters, the attack started, and they attacked us with unmarked jet aircraft, which is very, very important to this whole cover-up. But they used jet aircraft to soften the ship up. Our American flag was immediately shot down and replaced again with another flag, 7x13, which is holiday colors. And they dropped napalm on our ship, cannons and rockets. And,
weren't there actually torpedoes fired at your ship?
This happened later on in the attack. Now, you have to understand, sir, the attack lasted about as long as the attack on Pearl Harbor. So this wasn't something that just took place and it was over with. It was 2 hours of pure hell of Israeli bombardment and murder and mayhem.
All right, fine. So they just came in wave after wave after wave of planes and dropping bombs on you. Or did they strafe the ship at all?
Yes, they did. They strafed the ship over and over. This went on from the jet aircraft point of view for approximately about 35, 40 minutes.
All right. Now, was this just one flight or was this a series of flights?
A series of flights.
All right.
Now, I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, but there were over 800 cannon and rocket holes in the ship. Over 800 cannon and rocket holes in the ship, not counting the tens of thousands of 50 caliber armor-piercing bullets. So once the airplanes got through with us, here comes the torpedo boats, three of them. And they fired five torpedoes at us. Four missed, and one hit the starboard side of the ship, blowing a hole, approximately 40 by 40-foot hole in the ship. You could put your whole house in it. It picked the ship completely up out of the water. And as the ship was coming back down into the water, you could hear the ship weep and cry. It was hurt so bad. I thought it was just going to...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. And, of course, Phil is describing what happened when his ship was attacked by a wave after wave of Israeli warplanes. And, of course, they were strafing the ship with 50 caliber machine guns. They were hitting it with cannons. They were hitting it with... and how many cannon shells did you say there were from the missiles that they fired, the large missiles?
Well, we quit counting. In fact, I was on one of the counting teams that went around. We quit counting after 821. That's just the rocket and cannon holes.
Now, those are rocket and cannon holes, and then, of course, there were all the 50 caliber machine gun fragments. Of course, they're devastating. They tear holes in the ship. Not only that, but, of course, if they hit somebody, they just decimate them. And once again, how many men died in the attack?
There were actually, sir, I hate to use the word died. I'd say 34 of them were deliberately murdered by the government of Israel.
All right.
And there was 174 wounded, as I said before, including myself.
All right, fine. And so basically that's the vast majority of the people on board were either killed or were wounded during the attack, right?
Absolutely. Two-thirds of the ship was either dead or wounded.
All right, and so then, of course, then come the torpedo boats, or five of them, and they fire five torpedoes.
So there was only three torpedo boats.
Oh, there were three torpedo boats, okay, and they fired five torpedoes?
Yes, sir.
All right, and, of course, one of them hit the boat, and where did it actually hit the boat?
It hit on the starboard side, just in front of the engineering spaces where the main control was at, and the engineering spaces and the boilers.
All right, and then of course it just almost raised the boat out of the water. Why didn't it sink the boat? You would have thought that how large a hole did it make in the boat?
Approximately 40 by 40 foot hole.
Right.
And it went the hole went to the other side of the ship on the port side. Of course, it wasn't a 40 by 40, but there was a hole in the other side of the ship. But in that space, there were communications technicians. Those were the men that was our job to make sure that they could do their job, was to pick up radio messages out of the sky. And they were instantly blown to bits when the torpedo hit them. 25 young Americans and Marines lost their lives when that torpedo hit.
Well, of course, now, wasn't your ship actually sending out radio messages asking for help and asking for protection? And weren't those messages actually picked up by the United States Navy?
A very good question, and I'll give you a very quick answer. Absolutely, they were picked up by the United States Navy. They were picked up, in fact, around the world, as far away as Vietnam. They could hear our cry for help. Under attack by unknown aircraft, under attack by jet unknown aircraft.
Well, now, because was your captain in any way trying to avoid the planes? Was he trying to avoid the torpedoes? Did you have any weapons on board to fend off the attacking plane?
Our ship was an auxiliary ship. It was not a warship. It was an auxiliary ship. We had 450 caliber machine guns, and they were taken out on the first pass. We had no defense whatsoever.
All right, fine. So you sent out the message, you're asking for help. What happened? What did the United States Navy do, knowing full well that the men on board the Liberty were being slaughtered?
Okay, we got a message off about 15 minutes into the attack, under attack by unknown jet aircraft. This was picked up by the USS Saratoga and the USS America.
And how far were they away from you?
About 15 or 20 minutes by air.
All right, fine. And were they aircraft carriers?
Yes. USS Saratoga was aircraft carrying, also the USS America.
I know, of course, then they had planes. They could have sent them immediately to protect you. So what did they do to protect the Americans who were being slaughtered?
They did nothing.
Why would they have done something? Why wouldn't they have sent planes to help you?
Well, I can explain that. The planes were launched off the USS Saratoga. This is 15 or 20 minutes into the attack. Now, we didn't know who was attacking us. You have to remember that. We did not have a clue. We thought it was the Arabs who were attacking us. So McNamara, Johnson, and John McCain, Admiral McCain, that is the senator's son, or father, excuse me, Senator McCain is running for president. His father and the group of three, I call them, McCain, McNamara and Johnson recalled the aircraft and said they were not going to embarrass their ally, Israel. Now, if we didn't know who was attacking us, how did they know who was attacking us?
Well, that's a very, very good question. Why, first of all, how did they know who was attacking you? And number two, why would they not want to try to save the lives of American servicemen? Why would they leave them there to be killed by the Israelis? That doesn't make sense.
Well, there's a lot of theories, but we've come up with probably the most plausible one. The crew and my co-host on our show on Republic Broadcasting Network, Mark Glenn, we come up with this theory, and this is what everybody believes. They wanted to sink us fast, blame it on the Egyptians, the Arabs, and here we go into a wider war in the Middle East, and it could have possibly been a nuclear war. Now, we were there was two planes sent off the USS America with nuclear-tipped bombs on them. They were going to incinerate Cairo. We were within 120 seconds of a nuclear holocaust.
You know, wait a minute. I think this is such an important issue that there were two planes that were sent with nuclear-tipped weapons, and they were headed towards Cairo. And what happened?
they were recalled within 2 minutes of dropping their loads.
All right. Now, how can we verify that? Because I think that is a key to this whole story. I mean, how do we know that the planes were launched? How do we know they were recalled? I'm not questioning you. I just want our listeners to be able to document what you're saying, because I've heard the same story from very reliable sources. What is the source of information on that? Do we have any idea?
Well, I take note of that. If you ask me that, because I think you need to ask it. It's a very
that's what I get paid big bucks for. No, actually, I work for nothing. But what we want to do is let our listeners understand this is one of the greatest betrayals of all time, and the perpetrators who are responsible, Admiral McCain. Robert McNamara, who is still living, and of course Lyndon Johnson, who's dead, and I think Admiral McCain is dead, have never been tried, you know, for the criminal act of withdrawing the planes that could have saved the lives of so many Americans. So basically, how do we know what we know about this from behind the scenes and the machinations of our leaders who seem to be almost working in concert with the Israelis?
Well, we know this by great writers and people that were in government. George W. Ball is one of them. And he wrote a book called The Passion and Attachment. And he wrote in there, he said, quote, "Now, if Israel can get by with murdering Americans, they can get by with almost anything."
All right, fine. And what was the title of the book again?
The Passionate Attachment.
The Passionate Attachment. And, of course, he's saying that the Israelis are behind this. And, of course, George Ball, for our listeners out there, is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, one of the elite who really runs things behind the scenes. It's amazing that he would write that. Were there any other source of information pointing out the fact that we were on the verge of a nuclear war with Egypt, which I think was probably what this is really all about?
Yes. We've had, in fact, on our show, we've had CIA people that have come on our show and said the same thing. And there's a guy, Peter Hoonan, that wrote a book called The Cyanide, I believe, Operation Cyanide.
Right.
And he was the one that said Condition November.
For our listeners, again, that book is Operation Cyanide. I have my copy, Sydney, there in my library. And he's an Englishman. He's written it. I'd like to get him on the program, but haven't been able to. Have you been able to get him at all, Phil?
I have not. Actually, to be honest with you, we haven't even tried to get him on our show. We have so many guests booked up right now, we haven't. But we sure would like to.
And whereabouts do you issue? Are you in Republic or are you in Genesis?
We are on Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, fine. So Phil does a regular program on Republic, and of course he and the members of the crew are trying to get the truth out about what happened that day when our own government turned their back and refused to send aid and left those men there to die. And I really think that they anticipated the boat would go right down to the bottom of the Mediterranean, don't you?
Absolutely. And there's a fellow by the name, I think his name is Mike Rendren. He saw the nukes being loaded on the Phantom jets. So I think you're exactly right. That's why they did it. And I can get you all the names that you want. And I can do that for you anytime. I should have done my homework and had all that stuff in front of me. But believe me, I swear by it. And also, James Bamford his book that he wrote, Body of Secrets. And he's a former National Security Agency guy, and it is it tells it the anatomy of the ultra secret National Security Agency, and it's got a whole chapter in there on the USS Liberty.
Now that's Body of Secrets by James Bamford,
yes.
Book we used to carry. I think it's out of print at the present time. At least the last time
he also did the Puzzle Palace.
Puzzle Palace, was that Bamford's as well?
Yes.
Right, and he talks about this, and so the information is out there. Actually, there was an article published in AIM magazine, which I have. I tried to get the author to come onto our program, telling basically the same story you're hearing right now. And in fact, the article was sent to me by a former Assistant Secretary of Defense for the United States during the Reagan administration. A retired Marine Corps colonel sent me the article out of a magazine. And they contacted the woman who'd written the story, tells essentially the same story you're hearing here. And she was afraid to come onto my radio program, frankly afraid of the retaliation that would come if she went public, although she'd already gone public in the article. But the notoriety, you see, they cannot let the American people know the truth. And ladies and gentlemen, we have to understand what happened to the USS Liberty to understand, I believe, anything that has happened in the subsequent years, or the things that are happening today, or the things that are planned for the future, and the terrible, terrible war that lies ahead of us, that we're being betrayed by our leaders. Well, Phil, you're on the ship. You know, what was your job on the ship?
I was in repair party one. I was in damage control at the time of the attack. And I was assistant on-scene leader aboard the ship. And we worked as putting out fires, getting the wounded off the deck, the dead. And that's basically what my job was at the time of the attack.
Well, now, was there any question about abandoning a ship? Did you put down any lifeboats?
We put down, there was only three life rafts left. The rest of them were either shot up or burnt. And we dropped them over the water, and the Israeli gunboats shot two of them out of the water and took one aboard the boats. There was absolutely not going to be any survivors. They were going to kill us all. And they fired at our stretcher bearers and firefighters, shot at us like we were target practice. They were having just a great time killing their American friends.
Well, they were just doing what they were ordered to do, though. That, don't you think that I know at least one of the stories I heard, there was one of the commanders of a squadron refused to attack. When he got back, he was immediately arrested and put in Israeli prison. Don't you think that soldiers sometimes do kill people they're told to kill without ever questioning whether it's right or wrong?
Absolutely. I agree with that. I agree with that. But the rules of war... The rules of war, which Israel is bound by the UN, they did not abide by. We were dead in the water, basically to speak. You know, we couldn't go anywhere. We were trying to put our wounded into the life rafts. Now, what kind of individuals would shoot life rafts out of the water? I just can't figure that out. And we weren't at war with anybody. We weren't shooting at anybody. We weren't a risk to anybody. All they did, they wanted us all dead. I mean, it's a fact.
I'm sure there's no question at all that they really did want everybody killed. And it was not only the Israelis who were giving the orders, but it was the people in Washington, D.C., Admiral McCain, certainly Robert McNamara, President Johnson, who actually gave the orders. Now, my understanding was that there actually were planes that were on the way to rescue you, to help you, and they were called back. Is that true?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you again.
That there were actually planes, American fighter naval planes, that were actually dispatched to try to protect you and to ward off the attackers, and they were called back?
Yeah, they were called back. They were called back, and they never reached us, and... They were launched twice off of the USS Saratoga, and I knew the captain. I talked to him several times about it, and he was in tears that they recalled him, and he rebuffed their orders. He wanted to send him again, and his name was Captain Tully, and he was a World War II hero fighter pilot, and Captain Tully lost his job over that. They took him off that ship and took his job away from him. If I might get back to those Israeli gunmen on the torpedo boat.
Sure, go right ahead.
They were vindictive, and they seemed to enjoy it. I mean, shooting at us. It was, these were up close. They weren't, you know, like 1,000 yards away from us. These guys were up close, circling the ship and shooting everything they could. And
what were they, had 50 caliber machine guns?
Yeah, 50 caliber machine guns with armor piercing. Armor piercing would go completely through the ship, and it did. They were trying to blow the boilers up.
All right, hold this. We'll be back in just a moment as we bring our stations back on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course Phil was telling the story, but basically that there were planes that had been dispatched from the Saratoga, USS Saratoga, an aircraft carrier, and they were ordered back from Washington, D.C. In other words, they were going to go to try to rescue the people on the Liberty to provide cover for them to stop the attack. The planes were ordered back, but the admiral, I assume he was an admiral in charge of the ship at the time, violated the order and sent them back again, and he was eventually relieved of his command. And of course, was he ever court-martialed for his dereliction of duty trying to save American lives?
He wasn't court-martialed, but it ruined his career. He was in line to become an admiral. He was a full bird captain then.
Right.
But no, his career was over. And once he questioned a direct order, that was it. He was done.
In other words, when you're in the Navy, when you're in the military, you do what you're told, even if it means betraying your fellow military people, even if it meant allowing the Israeli attack to try to sink the USS Liberty and kill everybody on board. And so you said you actually had talked to the captain of the ship?
I talked to Captain Tully, absolutely. He's come to several of our reunions, and I have him on tape, tearfully saying, "Hey, man, I wanted to come help you guys, but they just wouldn't let me." And believe me, those pilots that were on the way to help us wanted to help us too, and they couldn't. I mean, they just they took their orders and they did what they were told, and I don't begrudge the Navy for that. What I do begrudge the Navy for. LBJ and McNamara and Admiral McCain is for what they did to us afterwards too. I mean, they ordered us never to breathe a word about this attack to anybody, our parents included, or we go to prison, or worse. And you know, worse than that is death. They were going to kill us.
And I think that is so important, and I really want to get that story out. But before we get to that, of course, I want to get into what happened. Certainly, here's the ship. They've got a great big hole all the way through it. Of course, the majority of the crew are either dead or wounded, but the ship won't go down. I suppose it's because you had watertight compartments. So what really caused them to leave off on the attack or not to send more torpedo boats and make sure that the ship went down and everyone on board died?
Well, that's a very good question. I have an answer for you. They sent troop-carrying helicopters, two of them, full of commandos to finish off the job. They were hovering over our ship. And I was on the main deck at that time, and I could look the devil right in the eye as he looked back at me, wanting to kill me. But they received a message that help was on the way, and so the gig was up. We knew who was attacking us then because the torpedo boats had the Star David on there, the markings of Star David. We almost fell over when we saw who was doing the murdering. We thought it was the Egyptians. And we had no idea it was the Israelis. We had the Israeli flags all over that ship, you know, praying for the Israelis to win the war. And look what they did to us.
All right, fine. Well, then tell us about you say these helicopters are there. They got commandos on board. Their job is to, you know, to get the commandos on board and kill everybody on the ship. What happened? Did they somehow get mixed up? They didn't realize that Admiral McCain and McNamara and Johnson were not going to allow any help to come? What do we really know about that?
Well, that's a good question. The only reason those commandos didn't board our ship is they got an incorrect message that help was on the way when in fact it wasn't. And so they left the area. In other words, the gig was up for them. It was over. It was done. And then the damage control come in is what they, you know, how they're going to cover this up. So they said that, it was a mistaken identity. Well, the Israelis have already admitted on a film and in writing that they knew we were American in the area and we're friendly. And they identified us as USS Liberty, AGTR-5.
Now, where is this film? Where is this material? Is this something that came out subsequently? Or I have no question, of course, that they knew exactly who you were.
It's on Thames Television. We have the film on that. They interviewed the survivors and the people in Israel, and it's also in Dead in the Water, and it's also on Loss of Liberty.
Now, right now, I'm sorry, are these DVDs that are available?
Yes, they are.
Are they available through your organization?
Yes.
All right, fine. Well, we'll want to talk to you more about that because I think it's so important that people understand that the Israeli government knew exactly what they were doing, but then so did General Admiral McCain, so did Robert McNamara, so did the President of the United States, and they kept, of course, calling back the people of the military forces who want to go to the rescue of other Americans, and, of course, this, the captain in charge of the Saratoga lost his command. Was he relieved of command right in the middle of the attack, or what happened?
He was relieved as soon as that ship got into port.
Right.
They relieved him of command, very unceremoniously, I might add. Usually when you have a change of command, it's a very big ceremony, especially for a carrier that carries 5,000 guys.
Hold that. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris Bell is describing what happened to the captain of the air, of the commanding officer on the Saratoga, the aircraft carrier. And because he wanted, of course, to save his fellow Americans, why he was relieved of his command. Well, did he put a second flight up, and how did they get those called back, or do we call it?
That's when McNamara handed the phone to LBJ himself.
All right.
And Lyndon Johnson said, I don't give a GD. If every sailor goes to the bottom of the ocean, I am not going to embarrass my allies. Get those planes back on the deck.
And there was a direct order then, of course, then to
that was a direct order from the Commander-in-Chief of the United States of America.
And at that point, of course, then the captain, what was his name again?
Captain Tully.
Captain Tully actually then called him back again for the second time.
Yes, they were recalled, not on his orders, but by the President of the United States.
All right, fine. Well, it's a sad commentary, but then what would we expect from the man of the caliber of Lyndon Johnson? Anyway, I don't want to get off into Lyndon Johnson, the other things. And so Captain Tully then, of course, I think he realizes his career is over with. He does what's right. To me, he was as much of a hero as anybody that day. Cost him his military career, but he did what was right. I just wish we had more military people who would do that today. So basically, of course, then you're there. The helicopters have gone. The helicopters were bringing in the commanders to kill everybody on board. They are pulled back. Really, it's almost miraculous that suddenly, after this vicious attack, why then, of course, does it go silent? Is there just no sound at all?
Well, we were so busy trying to keep the ship afloat. You'll have to understand that on each side of where the torpedo hit, It looked like balloons. I mean, the bulkheads were splitting apart. They had little seams in them that were leaking salt water into the other compartments, and we had to do the best we could to keep the ship afloat. And we didn't get any help from our government when help was only 20 minutes away for 18 hours. So I guess they were hoping we were going to break apart at night and sink and we'd all die.
What happened after 18 hours? And did you get some help then? Did they send some
supply? We got help. Yes, we did. We got help from the USS Davis, USS Massey, both of them destroyers, and the USS America. They airlifted off the most seriously wounded and what dead that we could recover, because there were still 25 souls in the torpedoed compartment that were in almost 100-degree salt water.
All right, hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Phil Turney, and of course he was a survivor of the attack on the USS Liberty back in 1967. And of course he was describing, I mean, the ship is leaking water. They don't know whether it's going to be able to stay up. It's got a hole all the way through from one side to the other, 40-foot hole on one side. Water's coming in. Of course, a number of their men are dead. It's 18 hours before, of course, any help is allowed to come. At that point, a couple of other boats come, and, of course, they take the dead, the wounded off board. And of course, then how do you keep the ship afloat after that, get it back to port?
Well, that's a very good question. I'd say there's only one answer to that, and that's the hand of God that kept that ship afloat. And I think he kept us alive to tell the true story of who was attacking us. And that's why I'm on the phone right now, because I believe it's very important that what happened 41 years ago, look what's happening right now. Look what's happening to the Palestinians. And they're in a concentration camp, 1.5 million of them. They can't do anything. They have no food, no clean water, no nothing. I mean, their lives are they're treated worse than cattle. And I think that all comes from 1967. It just breaks my heart.
Well, I think with good justification, I know exactly how you feel about this terrible, terrible incident. I have somebody calling, Bruce Prawling from Spokane. I'm going to ask him to hold his call. We will take calls perhaps in the second hour, but right now I want to get the story out. So I'll just tell Bruce that we will not take his call now, and please don't bother to call in until we actually ask for calls. So basically, of course, the ship, is badly wounded. Do you have any power? Are you able to actually get the motors going and take the ship into a port someplace?
Yes, we had both boilers. They finally got both boilers online. We were making about 5 knots. That's as fast as we could go with that big hole in the side of the ship, and we were afraid we were going to break in half anyway. Anyway, and you have to understand the keel was broken on that ship too. So the ship was in rough shape. We had no steering capabilities. We had to do it from after steering. We had no guidance. We had to steer by the stars. It was quite a night.
Well, of course, now with these other boats, the boats didn't arrive until morning then, the rescue boats from the Navy?
No, we didn't get any help from anybody. In fact, our government didn't even send a Piper Cub to see what was going on. I mean, they could have sent a plane there to help us through the night, with guidance or whatever.
Oh, but don't you think that the President of the United States expressed it very well? He said, I want this ship to go down.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And President Lyndon Johnson wanted this ship to go down with all hands aboard, but the American people have never been allowed to know that.
No, they haven't. It's been top secret for the last 41 years, and it remains top secret. Now, the Israelis and the Americans say this was a mistaken identity.
I don't think for 1 minute it was a matter of mistaken identity. But they can't let the American people know because it involves not only complicity at the highest level of the Israeli government and an act of war against America and an act of complicity by the leaders of this country, including Admiral McCain. So be that as it may. Let's get back to what happened. How long did it take you to get to court?
It took us almost 7 days. We were supposed to go into Crete, which was only like a day and a half steaming from where we were at. Instead, they sent us to Malta.
Why would they do that? Why would they want you to take a much longer route rather than a shorter route?
Well, we didn't know either until we found out that Admiral Isaac Kidd and his entourage were coming aboard the ship to debrief the crew to tell us to keep our mouths shut. And I'll never forget it. I was in sick bay with four or five other sailors, and Admiral McCain came in to sick bay. Admiral Kidd.
Admiral Kidd, and how many stars did he have?
He was a three-star, I believe that.
A three-star admiral. Of course, he comes into the sick bay, and what happened? What did they tell you?
Well, he took off his stars, first of all, and he said, hey, listen, guys, I'm just like you, just a regular, grunt sailor. I want you to tell me exactly what happened, what you saw, and we did. We opened up our hearts. We told him everything we saw, what we knew, what the Israelis did to us, why didn't help come to us. And after we got all done, and he says, well, are you done? And we said, yeah, that's pretty much it. And we thought this was going to go into the official board of inquiry, our testimony of what we saw, the torpedo gunmen shooting our life rafts and shooting our men on deck, which is a war crime. And then he put his stars back on, and he said, listen, guys, I'm an admiral again. If you ever repeat this to anybody, including your families, I guarantee you you're going to go to prison or worse. And listen, he put the fear of God in us, I guarantee.
And so why would a three-star admiral tell you never to tell the truth? I mean, I thought integrity and honesty were part of the tradition of the United States Navy and the armed forces.
Well, it is. I mean, they took an oath to protect this country from all enemies, foreign and domestic. But I can tell you, they were under strict orders too, and there was a fellow by the name of Ward Boston that was aboard that ship and came to interview us, and he kept his silence for 40 years, and he opened up in June the 8th of 2007 and gave a testimony in the San Diego Union that the cover-up was a white, I mean, the Board of Inquiry was a whitewash, a cover-up, and that it was a deliberate attack on a flagged American ship. They shot at our life rafts. The eyewitness's testimony was taken out of the Board of Inquiry. It's a sham. It's a lie. It's a whitewash. And Israel got by with cold-blooded, premeditated murder, and our government is still to this day is letting them do it. Now, you said that Johnson and those guys back then were guilty of crimes. Well, listen, George W. Bush is just as guilty as LBJ, and so is the Congress. Because they're coming up for him right now.
All right, well, let's what happened to this gentleman who came forward just a couple of years ago and told the story of the truth? He was there. Whatever happened, did they come after him?
No, they did not.
And have they come after you? Because you're very outspoken. You've got a regular radio program.
I get nasty emails, and I get death threats, and so on and so forth.
I mean, you actually get death threats for telling the truth about this?
Absolutely. They don't want to hear it. They I mean, I've been called an anti-Semite, a Nazi, a Jew-hater, a criminal, you know, you name it, I've been called it. But that's just what the territory is.
But you see, this has nothing to do with the average Jew. This has to do with the people who were in charge of the Jewish government at that time. This had to do with the fact that military people, even American military people, will kill people because they're under orders to do it, and they have no right to do it. They have they're answerable to God, but they violate, of course, their obligation to God because they're good soldiers, good sailors, good Marines. We have, of course, there is a greater court and a greater power that we're answerable to, and that's to God. And until people understand that and they do what's right rather than what's expedient, we're going to continue having problems. Would you agree?
Well, it gets worse than that. I've also had lug nuts loosen on my trucks, and my wheels fall off.
Now, of course, this is a pretty standard technique. You know, I know a number of people have had that happen to them in an effort to have you have an accident.
Yeah, well, it's not only happened once, it's happened twice.
Right.
But,
in other words, basically, you could have been killed in those accidents, but it would have been just called just an accident.
Absolutely, and that's the whole deal of it. But
these people are deadly because you're dealing with wicked and evil people who have no respect for human life. What about the other people who have come forward and told the story? Has the fact that you've come toward and told the story given others who survived the attack on the Liberty the courage to come forward and tell the story?
Yes. In fact, I wasn't one of the first ones to come and start speaking. I found out about it through a shipmate of mine, Master Chief Stan White. He had an article in the paper, and this is about 20 years after the attack, and I thought, my God, is he crazy speaking out about this? I mean, he's got to be nuts. Doesn't he know what's going to happen to him? But finally, sailor by sailor by sailor, started coming out of the woodwork, and we tried to figure out what our government had done to us, and we said, hey, we're not going to take it.
Well, have you had an opportunity to get onto any of the major things, that probably, you know, besides the alternative radio such as this?
No, they won't touch us because they're all run by the Zionist media. I mean, look at the Congress. I mean, they know what's going on. They know what happened to the Liberty, but they won't touch it, or they won't get elected. Cynthia McKinney mentioned the USS Liberty. She got defeated. They got a trafficant from Ohio in the penitentiary because he went on the floor of the Congress and mentioned the USS Liberty. I mean, you talk about the USS Liberty and your career is over. Forget it.
Poor old Tropic Hunt, they actually planted a man in his office, the FBI planted a man in his office to collect information on him and testify falsely, you know, before the jury that eventually convicted Tropic Hunt on trumped up charges. And of course, anybody who speaks out, of course, Congressman George Hansen, I don't know if he ever came forward on the Liberty, but he came forward with other things. He was perfectly innocent. They sent him to prison and tortured him for 10 years. That's Congressman George Hansen of Idaho. You can look up the stories on the Internet, or we have a number of interviews we did with George through the years. A very, very courageous congressman, but then if you tell the truth, why, you could end up being tortured for 10 years, as they did with George Hansen. And then the Supreme Court had the audacity to come forward and say, oh, see, it was all a mistake. We had no right to prosecute you because the law did not apply to you. Sorry, George. By then, his health is gone, his wealth is gone, his profession is gone, and he, of course, anybody incidentally up there in the state of Idaho where I know they listen to this program, who knows how I can get hold of George Hansen if he's still living, I'd love to get him back onto our programs again, Congressman George Hansen. So I think what Phil says is actually true. I think they really don't want the public to know. Somebody just commented they'd passed away. Anyway, anybody, of course, knows anything about George Hansen and his family, would love to hear from them. Anyway, of course, so basically, Phil, you actually waited how long before you actually got the courage to come forward and tell the truth about what happened that terrible day?
It was over 20 years. In fact, my second wife, I didn't even tell her about it when we got married. She didn't learn about it until after I got married, and then I became an activist. And I've been an activist for a little over 22 years, something like that. And, you know, it's been a big part of my life. I mean, after being told by your government, after what had just happened to us, and then your government abandoned you, I mean, you feel like your father just put a knife in your back.
And, of course, when this admiral tells you that you'll be either sent to prison or worse, if you talk about it, that must have terrified everybody there. Did this admiral do the same thing to everybody on board?
Yes, everybody that was aboard the ship at that time. Now, other people got left the ship. I mean, they went to hospitals or they dispersed them immediately, and they got debriefed by other people. Now, I know one fella that was sent to a hospital in Germany. He was severely wounded, and they did not have his name corrected. They had his name down as Smith, so they didn't even have his correct name down. And a lot of the guys that got aboard that left the ship, they didn't even let on their discharge papers say that they were ever aboard the Liberty. Now that's despicable, and these guys have had a hard time. Even getting their VA benefits because it's hard for them to prove, you know, without the support of their friends, shipmates, they're aboard the Liberty.
You're talking now, of course, the people who are badly wounded as a result of the attack on the Liberty, and so the Veterans Administration's been complicit in the cover-up.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Did the Veterans Administration then actively try to withhold
disability
benefits?
Absolutely. The Veterans Administration wouldn't do anything. They turned guys away until about the last, 18, 19 years, and then they finally started helping the Liberty vets. But a lot of them, including myself, we got post-traumatic stress disorder, and I got it. It's something that I have to live with every day, and I can tell you that the first 20 years after the attack was awful. I lost a wife, kids. I went into the bottle. I drank. I did everything to numb myself up. It's a wonder I'm still living now because I lived a very destructive lifestyle. But I've changed all that.
Whatever happened to the commander of the USS Liberty? Is he still alive?
He died about three and a half, four years ago. And he's buried at Arlington National Cemetery. And at the end of his life, he did come out and say that he believed the attack was deliberate. But he never did utter those words until the end of his life.
Well, I understand that Admiral Thomas Moore, who was certainly one of the most venerated of all naval personnel, actually was very, very concerned about this and tried to get the story out. Did you ever hear anything about that?
Oh, yeah. Admiral Moore and I were personal friends. In fact, the USS Liberty gave him one of the first USS Liberty awards, and he considered that award we gave him one of his finest awards that he's ever received his whole naval career. And Admiral Moore went to his grave, you know, screaming, yelling about the USS Liberty. And in his obituary, the American media cut out parts of his obituary. When they used the word Israel, they wouldn't use that word. So that tells you how strong the Zionist influence media is in this country.
Well, certainly, we have the privilege of interviewing Thomas Moore, Admiral Thomas Moore, on several occasions before he passed away, and he was certainly a man, he was a military man who really believed in these concepts of duty and honor. I just wish we had more people of that caliber today. So many of them, of course, will do whatever they have to maintain their position of power, even if it means compromising what they believe and know to be true, even if it means compromising the lives of the men that they are under their command. And that's really the great tragedy of what happened and why, of course, we should never honor a man like Admiral McCain or Robert Strange McNamara or Lyndon Johnson, who knew what had happened and withheld support, withheld the air cover that the people aboard the Liberty were entitled to because they wanted them all dead. Wanted a justification for a nuclear war with Egypt, who at that time was headed by a man named Nasser, who was hated intensely. Well, our telephone number, of course, we'll take calls when we get back here in the second hour. Do you mind taking calls there, Telfel?
No, that's fine. And, you know, the Russians, there's no telling what could have happened. The Russians were supporting the Arabs, and it could have been the end of the world.
Well, of course, I very much feel that they are intent upon bringing us into a nuclear war at the present time. That's, of course, why we're helping to give the nuclear weapons to Pakistan so they give them to the Muslim world so we can have a good old war with the Muslim world. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in terrible and frightening times. We have to know the story of the Liberty. Well, Phil, you know, if today when you try to get this story out, certainly if you are on Republic Radio, why, I'm sure you have a good audience, but, you know, it's pretty tough to get this story out, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is. But we've, like I say, my friend Mark Glenn, that works for American Free Press also and writes extensively for them about the Liberty story and others. And, you know, we're out there every day trying to get the word out. And if you don't mind, I'll give our website out.
You go right ahead.
Okay. It's USSLiberty.wordpress.com.
USSLibertyWordPress.com, is that it?
Yeah, it's USSLiberty.wordpress.com. And our radio show is republicbroadcasting.org. We're on every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock Pacific Mountain Time.
And how long are you on?
2-hour show.
All right, fine. Well, do you enjoy doing talk radio?
I do. Get to talk to a lot of interesting people, ex-CIA, congressmen, generals. We talk to a lot of different people. And the subject isn't always about the USS Liberty per se, but it all revolves about why and what's going on in the world today revolves exactly back to June 8, 1967, when our ship stayed afloat. If it would have sunk, it would have been a completely different world as we sit right now.
And I think it was really because, of course, the ship did not go down that they could not launch their attack on Egypt. They could not, of course, get into a nuclear war, and it could very well have spread into a nuclear world war at that time. We'll never know what would have happened. But, of course, I think that Phil is absolutely right. God did intervene and keep that ship from going down because it never should have stayed afloat, and none of those men ever should have survived. They would not allow the ships, which were not that far away, to get there. How long do you think it would have taken the ships to get there if they'd been allowed to come to your help?
From the airplanes?
No, for the ships themselves.
Okay, the ships, That's a very good question. And I'll have to regress a little bit. Captain McGonagall asked for a destroyer escort when we went into that area because we knew we were going into a war zone. And they denied him that. They said, you don't need any help. You don't need any ships with you. You're a flagged American ship. Just go do your duty. So, but to get back to your other question, it would have taken probably, I don't know, at full speed, I don't know, probably 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. We're going to finish the program, then we'll be ready for the next hour right here with Phil Turney. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly the story of the USS Liberty is a very important story, which is why I've asked Phil to be with us, which we want to get a number of other interviews so you can hear all aspects of this. This was a plan on the part of Israelis, who are working obviously in concert with the people in Washington, D.C., to kill American soldiers, American sailors, and to sink an American ship, the USS Liberty. And, of course, if I was asked, Phil, how long it would actually have taken those the ships that were there, of course, with the USS Enterprise and the other aircraft carrier to have gotten. And he said probably 6 or 8 hours they could have been there. But no ships arrived for 18 hours. And then, of course, they did not allow the ship to go to the closest port in Cyprus. They could have been there in a day and a half. They have to go to Malta. And, of course, everybody on board is threatened. They're threatened with imprisonment or worse if they ever tell the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the sort of thing that they do to our military and our personnel to keep the truth from coming out. I think it's vitally important that you get the information. If you'd like to get copies of these interviews or, of course, get them from Phil. Phil, once again, I want you to give out your website and when they can listen to your program.
Correct. Yes, our website is usslibertywordpress.com. And, of course, our radio show is called the Liberty Hour. Liberty Hour. What a strange coincidence, huh? But it is on republicbroadcasting.org at 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and 0900 Mountain Standard Time.
All right, fine. And so I certainly recommend people get the information. But there are so many stories, similar stories. For instance, the story of the execution of Martin Luther King. We have a wonderful four CD set. Actually, of course, it includes a two-hour interview with Mr. William Pecker, who was actually engaged by Martin Luther King's family to hold a trial for all of America so they would learn that the people within our government had killed Martin Luther King. There was a four-month trial. There were 50 witnesses, and, of course, not a word in the controlled media about what had actually happened to Martin Luther King. We have a four-tape or four-CD set on that, as well as a book entitled An Act of State. And, of course, the jury, when they heard the evidence, came up with the conclusion that the CIA had employed the mafia to kill Martin Luther King. Now, how in America could you have that story suppressed? Well, same way they suppressed the story of the USS Liberty. They may have freedom of the press. That means if you own newspapers or radio stations or television stations or publishers, you have the freedom to suppress whatever information you want to. And, of course, the first book that was written about the murder of Martin Luther King by Mr. William Pepper was called Orders to Kill. Interesting study today is try to find a copy of Orders to Kill at a local bookstore. Orders to Kill, well, we have the second book, An Act of State, and the four tape, four CD set. The same thing is true with the story of the murder of Bobby Kennedy. You've never heard the story of the murder of Bobby Kennedy because Saran Saran, who was supposed to have shot Kennedy, was standing in front with a gun that contained 8 bullets. But, of course, Robert Kennedy was shot from behind, and there were 14 bullets fired. How could that have happened? Well, maybe the same way that the magic bullet that killed President Kennedy went through President Kennedy and went through Governor Connally, and, of course, it left bullet fragments in Governor Connally's right wrist and left thigh, but immediately reconstituted itself, and all of the bullet fragments suddenly somehow reappeared on the magic bullet that was found laying on the gurney there in Parkland Hospital. Ladies and gentlemen, You have an obligation to find out what really happened. You have an obligation to help us get the truth out across America. You need to find out if it's really true. If it is true, then join Bill and myself and others who are doing everything we can to get the truth out. There are other people, Alex Jones, certainly Joyce Riley, Jeff Rentz, a number of people, Pastor Chris Meyer, Pastor Butch Paul, other people. You go to our website of RadioLiberty.com, RadioLiberty.com, if you'd like to get our material. The number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, again, they're going to be the views of Phil Turney, who was on the USS Liberty when it was attacked by the Israeli military back in 1967 during the 67 war. And this hour, of course, we're going to open our lines. If you're out there and you'd like to talk to Phil, here's an opportunity to hear from somebody there who went through this terrible experience and, of course, had post-traumatic stress disorder and probably still has it to an extent. Cost him his wife and his family, and it's a terrible thing not to be able to tell anybody for fear that your own government is going to have you killed or certainly you'll spend your life in prison for telling the truth about the betrayal of the men on the USS Liberty. Well, with that as a background, let's go right now to James, who's calling from Los Angeles. Hi, James. How are you doing?
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. Really nice program you have there. It's the first time I've listened to it.
First time you've listened to it? Are you listening to us on shortwave or the Internet?
On the Internet.
All right, fine. Well, I hope you'll become a regular listener. We're on 9 hours a day there, certainly on our satellite feed, although 4 hours a day live right there at Radio Liberty. So go right ahead.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, Phil's a very dear friend, a valued friend of mine, so I got the email from earlier tonight that he's on, and I wanted to definitely call in and express my support not only for him, but the other members of his crew as well, who were just treacherously attacked and murdered in Maine by the country of Israel, our quote-unquote ally. And it's just outrageous, and Phil and I have talked about this, and we've been back and forth on email as well. And, I mean, there's no doubt at all that that attack on the USS Liberty was indeed deliberate. There are several aspects that Phil is aware of course. We could talk about how Israel had used unmarked jets, and not only that, that actually jammed the radio frequencies on the ship, and in order to do that, they must have known what those frequencies were, and the only way that the crew could have gotten out a message like they did is, and Phil can talk about this, of course, is every time that the Israelis had fired off their missiles, I think the jamming had actually been interrupted at that time, and they were able to jerry-rig an antenna to get off the distress signal. that not only were the jets unmarked, not only did they know the radio frequencies to jam, that they actually had torpedo boats that got close enough to the ship to see and clearly identify it as being an American ship with a huge American flag that had been put up after the original one had been shot out. And another friend on the Liberty, Lloyd Painter, had actually been an eyewitness. He's a naval officer on board. And he'd seen the Israeli torpedo boats machine gunning the life rafts. And there's actually a life raft that's on display. They took one of them. This shows a treacherous nature. And they put it on display in their museum in Israel, kind of like a trophy, you know, with American blood on their hands. So, you know, if anybody says that this attack wasn't deliberate, they're just smoke screening the truth.
But why was it that Admiral McCain and Robert McNamara and Lyndon Johnson refused to send help to our people? Why would they allow our boys to be killed? Why would the President of the United States allow our men to be killed?
Well, that, you know, that gets into an issue where people have different perspectives on it. I mean, there's no doubt at all that Senator McCain's father was involved in this cover-up. There's no doubt about that at all. I was actually a very good friend of, well, I wouldn't say very good friend, but I was in touch with him often, and he confided in me, and that's Captain Ward Boston, the Navy lawyer who had gone on the record finally about how the attack was covered up to the highest level of the Johnson presidency. And he was actually the Navy lawyer that was working the Naval Court of Inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that that Naval Court of Inquiry was a sham.
Of course. Well, I think the whole thing is a sham, and the cover-up has been a sham. Hey, thanks very much for calling, James. You want to call a little later? You're more than welcome to.
Thank you so much.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Phil Turney. Phil, certainly, how long did you stay in the Navy after the Liberty was attacked?
I stayed in the Navy. My duty was up, or my enlistment was up December the 12th, 1967. I was discharged off the USS Liberty, and 2 years after that, I went back into the Navy for another several years. I stayed in a total of 8 years, but my mind or my heart wasn't in the Navy after what happened. I thought that if I went back in, my life would change. It didn't. It just got worse.
And I'm sure this is really very true, and it was a terrible burden to have to carry with you. What about the other people in the Navy, in the United States Navy, who didn't necessarily know anything firsthand about the Liberty, but do you think that the many of the high-ranking officers in the Navy know about the betrayal of the men on board the Liberty?
There was a handful of high-ranking officers, and the rest of them were told it was a mistaken identity, and that's just the way they left it. Now, I must say that I talked to, you've heard of the USS Pueblo, of course.
Right.
I talked to Commander Booker personally, and in his book is Butcher My Story, or Booker My Story, commander of the USS Pueblo. He said if he would have known of what happened to the USS Liberty, his ship would have never been captured. In fact, he would have never taken his ship into those hostile waters. So look what they did to the Pueblo guys. They set them up, and they got captured. And of course, North Korea is going to go get them. They saw that the government would not help us when Israel was after us. And look, the Pueblo guys—they were in prison for over a year and mistreated. I feel sorry for those guys. I just really, really do, because...
Because basically, I've talked to survivors of the Pueblo, they told me they were threatened by the government. They would be sent to prison or worse if they ever told the truth about what really happened to them during their period of imprisonment. In fact, there was one young man who actually spoke for a meeting I put on who told me that they would have naval officers at all of his meetings in an effort to intimidate him to keep him silent. But he wouldn't remain silent.
Absolutely, and I believe that wholeheartedly, and they pulled the same thing on the Pueblo crews they pulled on us.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment here with Phil Turney. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I do hope that if you're out there in the listening audience, you'll give us a call. If you have a question for Phil, this is the time to ask it. And because 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California, at 464-8295, and we've got Bruce on the line calling from Spokane. Hi, Bruce. How are you doing?
Hello, Dr. Stan.
Good to have you with us.
All right. Thank you very much. I'd like to speak to your guest, please.
Go right ahead.
Sir, I'm very hard of hearing. I got my eardrum blown out from the torpedo.
All right. I don't know if that's better.
I can hear you now. Thank you.
All right. Well, it takes on a personal aspect to me. When I was in the National Guard, one of the enlisted men was the brother of a man named Alan Blue.
I know Alan Blue. Alan Blue came aboard the ship in Rota, Spain.
All right. Well, is his brother, and he was killed. And I was asking him a few questions, and he said that the family had tried to find out about his death, and to say the least, they were strongly rebuffed by the U.S. Navy and some other aspects of the federal government. And
well, before we get into that story, Bruce, was Mr. Blue on the ship at the time of the attack, or did he come on later?
No, he was killed during the attack.
Oh, he was killed during the attack, okay.
Yeah, he was a civilian, by the way. Now, he worked for the National Security Agency.
Right.
All right, now there's a few questions I'd like to ask you about the kind of the chronology of events here. As obviously the United States Navy sent the Liberty off the coast to eavesdrop on the events of the Six-Day War and collect information. But at the same time, are we all saying that there was a plan to specifically target the USS Liberty for an attack to sink it and blame it on the government of
Egypt. Right. What's your response to that question, Phil?
My response is absolutely so, and our fate was sealed just as soon as our last rope came off the pier of the ship.
And what was your port?
Our fate was sealed when we left to the United States that they were going to sink us then. There's no doubt in my mind about it.
And I think, Bruce, you have to understand that there are a number of books. There's one book called Operation Cyanide that tells basically the same story. We have an article that appeared in the magazines that circulated among the military. It was sent to me by a former Assistant Secretary of Defense. We actually had that article. And, of course, it tells exactly the same story. This whole thing was precipitated to justify getting America into a war with Egypt, and perhaps it would be a nuclear war, and perhaps it would involve Russia. And at the last minute, those planes, just before they were ready to hit Cairo, were called back because the Liberty refused to sink, and the people kept the boat afloat.
Yeah, there was the shameful evidence of what they had. Now, you'd have to say, okay, now those were U.S. aircraft or Israeli aircraft with U.S. nuclear armament.
No, there were the American planes were with the nuclear weapons. The planes
that
attacked
were
conventional weapons. There were Israeli planes with conventional weapons. Is that right, Phil?
The planes that were nuclear tipped came off the USS America, and they were our planes.
All right, but somebody ordered those planes.
Somebody ordered them to drop nukes on Cairo, and we
that's
did,
exactly it.
Yeah. But we didn't sink. We threw a monkey wrench into their plan.
Well, I know that. Isn't that a blessing once in a while?
Oh, absolutely. And by the way, Pat Blue, Patricia Blue, she's remarried now, but she still uses Patricia Blue. I won't say her last name. But she's very active in the USS Liberty Veterans Association and just a very fantastic woman. And she was rebuffed, and she's still being rebuffed by the United States government. And when her husband was killed, and it just broke that poor woman's heart. She was so in love with this man; it was unbelievable. And I still, I just feel for her, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Oh, absolutely. I've seen enough in the military to shake all my confidence forever in the Stars and Stripes, and and what we supposedly stand for anymore.
Well, I think, Bruce, what you have to understand is that there is two Americas. There's the America and I believe in. The America, of course, that we cherish and love, and then there is the government which has taken over, the invisible government, a very evil group of people who have taken control of our government. And the average American doesn't understand. They think that we're still under the government we love without realizing
the power of it. Well, I understand that. I've known that for years, decades, actually.
The power of our government is being used, the military and financial power of our government is being used to bring about a world government. And the leaders of both political parties, and certainly both John McCain and, of course, Barack Obama, are controlled by exactly the same people. They go through this little dog and pony show every 4 years and convince us we elect a president. We do not elect a president.
They were elected
They select
before.
Both presidents and both candidates, and we vote for the candidate of their choice. Once you understand that, then so much of what's going on makes sense. Go right ahead, Bruce.
Well, I've understood that for decades.
Okay, fine. Well, you've got to help us get it out, because that's our job.
I do. Well, I thank you. I thank your guest again. This is a subject that I don't want to see buried.
Well, it won't be buried if Radio Liberty has survived. So we hope that you will get people listening to our program up there in Spokane. And you do know, Bruce, we're now doing an afternoon program there from 4 to 5 every day.
I didn't know that.
Yes, I think it's KTRW.
Well, I think your memory is good on that, because I listen to KTRW on occasion.
Well, you're going to have to listen every day at 4 o'clock. God bless and thanks for
having me. All right, God bless. Thank your guest again.
Bye-bye. And, of course, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, at 464-8295. Our guest is Phil Turney, who was warned he would be sent to prison, or worse, if he ever dared tell the truth about what happened that fateful day aboard the USS Liberty, when the Israeli government ordered their planes to sink the ship and kill everybody on board. And, of course, they were backed up by the President of the United States, who said, that no help would be coming, and that ship was to go to the bottom of the ocean. And unfortunately, this is the way things really work. This was Lyndon Baines Johnson. And the question is, if this is really true, why haven't we read about this in Time magazine, or Newsweek magazine, or U.S. News and World Report? Or why don't we hear about it on ABC or CBS or NBC? Or why don't our conservative commentators talk about this, those with 600 or more stations? And the reason that you'd never hear about it is because they don't want you to hear about it. Phil, what sort of luck have you had getting on other conservative programs besides there on Republic? Do you get on Genesis programs very much?
No, I haven't personally been on Genesis, but I do believe that RBN is a breakoff of Genesis somehow or something like that. But I would like to say that, if the American people knew the truth about the USS Liberty and what really happened, and they should never forget the USS Liberty, because it's a warning to all of us that this could happen to any of them or any of their sons. And you have to remember that when Israel attacked our ship, they just didn't attack the USS Liberty. They attacked America. And the cover-up, if it ever came out, would change this country forever.
Well, but of course, they did this. The Israelis did it with the complicity of the people in the White House.
Absolutely.
That, of course,
they
that's
did.
What's so unconscionable. And the fact most Americans have never heard about this is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Phil risks life every Saturday there on Republic Broadcasting in the morning when he does a program trying to get the truth out. But it's up to you, ladies and gentlemen, out there to help him get that truth out. And because we have to get the story of the Liberty out. And believe me, I think I mentioned during the first hour that there's a wonderful article that was sent to me by an assistant secretary of defense during the Reagan administration, that retired Marine Corps colonel, is a good personal friend of mine. He sent me the article, and certainly I contacted the author and wanted to get her on the program, and she was afraid to come on. She was afraid in America to come on and tell the story, because, of course, she recognized full well that these people would just as soon kill people as not, and they will do anything, as they've attempted to kill a Phil by loosening the lugs on his wheels, so they would attempt to kill people here in the United States, anybody who got in their way. By one means or another, they would kill them. And ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about something imaginary. They were able to kill President Kennedy and kill his brother and kill Martin Luther King. And we could give you the names of dozens of people. In fact, three of the people have been guests on my program have been assassinated by professional assassins working for the government, in my opinion. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the central coast of California, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we've got Jack calling from Michigan. Jack, do you have a question for Phil?
Yeah, first comment. I think...
I can't hear him.
No, you're going to have to speak up a little louder. Phil's lost his hearing there on the Liberty. Go ahead.
Okay, there seems to be a myth that the government represents our fellow American patriots' best interests, and it's obvious it doesn't.
All right, fine. I think that's pretty well established after this program. Do you have a question for our guest, Jack?
Yeah, now, he obviously that event with the Liberty is a similar event to Pearl Harbor.
Right, and Pearl Harbor, and sort of what happened on September 11th, the Gresham, when the buildings came down, and there's certainly a great deal of evidence that we have not been told the truth about that. The destruction of the Murrah building there, the downing of TWA 800 there in 1996. The curse, the murder of Randy Weaver and his family there, the Ruby Ridge, they're all sort of tie-in together what happened at Waco when they spend the special forces to kill the women and the children. If you doubt that, why, we've even got interviews with people from the special forces who will tell about how they sent special forces to kill the women and the children. That's called Waco, A New Revelation. We do have it in stock. Waco, A New Revelation. But go ahead, Jack.
Oh, I thank you for presenting that. I recalled you mentioning that in the past. I forgot about that. Waco, A New Revelation. Okay, the string of events continue to unfold, and he mentioned earlier that there's obviously a controlled media, and I was curious if he's been able to identify key families that are involved in the, because I know Dr. Stan has mentioned William Odom, Fixing Intelligence, as a great resource, and so I was curious if Dr. Stan, whether William Odom mentions any of the families, or if there's any mention of any families that Phil would know about relative to the controlling influences in the media.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. And of course, the book you're referring to is Fixing Intelligence by Lieutenant General William Odom. And of course, William Odom really doesn't mention who is behind what's going on. In fact, he's very restricted in what he can do because he had signed all these secrecy agreements when he became the director of the National Security Administration. But William Odom, of course, asked the questions like, should the CIA be assassinating people? Should the CIA have reporters, stationed in the media to control the media, so the army be collecting dossiers on American citizens? He asked the questions, but he doesn't get into the families of the others who are involved. So basically, he is not a good source of information. If you listen to Radio Liberty regularly, Jack, as I know you do, you know that we very often will cover who is really behind this. So I have a question for our guest at all before we let you go.
Okay. Has he met with any success in reaching out to the local VFWs?
All right, fine. Good question. What about the Veterans Administration? Certainly, Phil, the Veterans Administration, the VFW, Veterans of Foreign Wars, American Legion, those organizations are the least bit interested in your story.
They all know about it, but they'll have resolutions they bring up, but it never gets above the governing body, and it's shot down. It never gets anywhere. Of course, they know about it, but they don't bring it up. because they know who they're controlled by, and that's just the way it is. Now, as far as the VA goes, I have nothing but good things to say about the Veterans Administration now. 20 years or 25 or 30 years ago, I didn't. But they've come to help the Liberty survivors. They understand what's going on, and they believe the story, and they know the story. And I'm glad they do, because they're helping the sailors off the Liberty. And I also wanted to mention, I forgot to, that we had three Marines aboard there, and two of them were killed, and there's only one surviving Marine now. His name is Bryce Lockwood, and he lives out in Missouri.
All right, fine. Of course, what a tragedy, you know, that all those men were killed and the vast majority were wounded. And of course, the true story has been totally suppressed by the controlled media. But then, so many stories are suppressed, which is why I do what I do and why I'm sure why Phil does what he does. Anything else, Jack, before we let you?
Thank you, Dr. Stan. I'm really looking forward to getting some of these videos and start passing them out. I don't see any other way. You know, I direct people to your website almost every day. But, you know, I think it's probably better to hand them something that they can actually sit down and watch or listen to. So that's what I got to start doing.
Okay, God bless. Thanks very much. Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Philip Turmé. Phil, attorney, T-O-U-R-N-E-Y. Of course, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and let's go to Mike, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi, Stan. I've had one understanding. I don't know if it's true about the story of the Liberty, and that is that the Israeli pilots were told that the Liberty was actually an Egyptian ship in disguise.
I don't really know what they were told, but I do know that the commander of the first flight refused to attack, and of course when he returned to base, he was immediately arrested and court-martialed and sent to prison. Why? Because he violated a direct order from his superiors to kill the Americans. He knew it was an American ship, and he wouldn't attack it. But of course the subsequent officers did. Go ahead. So, do you have any other questions, Mike?
Well, then the other part of my understanding was that if the Liberty went to the bottom, then who would ever know? And then if it was said to have been an Egyptian ship in disguise, then we would go to war with Egypt in defense of Israel.
Well,
does that sound strange or what?
No, I think we would have gone to defense, have gone to war with Egypt because they had attacked and destroyed one of our ships and killed all of our men on board, and I think. But what are your thoughts on this, Phil? There's so much confusion out here. It's so hard for people to see that they would actually try to kill Americans to justify getting us into a war. This is something that's so hard for the average American to realize, that this sort of thing happens. It happened with the sinking of the Maine. It happened with the attack on Pearl Harbor. It happened with the Tonkin incident. It happened with the incidents, of course, that got us into the current war in Afghanistan and Iraq. The average American can't believe that our leaders would actually plot to get us into wars. Would you agree with that, Phil, or not?
Well, absolutely. You made a very good point, and I'll just go ahead and ratchet that up a notch. And say, okay, our ship was sunk, and the word comes from Israel and the United States that it was sunk by the Egyptians. Can you imagine? Just imagine the outrage in the American public. It would have been a 911 all over again. They would have been out for blood, and that's exactly what they wanted. They wanted to blame it on the Egyptians. Get it done fast. Nobody's the wiser. It comes on the newscast that hey, the Egyptians had just sunk. Or the Arabs had just sunk an American ship. 294 men are dead. Oh, boy. No matter what the Americans or the Israelis did at that time, they would have got high fives around the United States for doing it. I can guarantee you that.
I agree with that totally. Anything else you want to say, Mike? Because I think this is really so. It's so important that people understand that this sort of thing really does go on with the full knowledge and support of the people in Washington, D.C.
Good enough for now. Thanks a lot, Stan.
Good night, Mike. Okay, and our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And really, it's so difficult to get the truth about Liberty. Phil, are there any good books out there that you would recommend besides, of course, this one book that you mentioned earlier, written by the Britisher?
I would recommend They Dare to Speak Out, of course. That's with Paul Finley.
Right.
And, of course, Body of Secrets of James Bamford.
You're right. An excellent book.
And, of course, The Passion and Attachment by George W. Ball.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's so many of them that, you know, address so many different issues. The Samson Option.
What is the Samson Option?
Yes.
All right, fine. Of course, but that's written from the Jewish point of view, isn't it?
Yes, but it's a very good book.
All right. Does it tell you the truth about how this whole thing fits
yes.
together?
And then there's a book, film out. I think I already told you about that. The other book just skips my mind right now. I'm sorry.
Have you put out the DVDs? Because we'd probably want to carry one or two of them. How can we get them, or can we just contact you off the air and you'll let us know?
Yeah, you can get the DVDs right from us.
Okay.
And like I say, just go to usslibertywordpress.com, and also on there, if you go to USS Liberty, you come up on a website that is a USS Liberty website run by one of the former crew members. He was a lieutenant commander aboard there, a real nice guy. His name's John, and he has a fabulous website. I'd recommend it above any other website on the net. That's the official website that we go by.
All right, fine. So is that the website, the ussliberty.wordpress.com?
Yes, yes. And that other book is...
Operation Cyanide, I believe, is the name of it.
Yeah, this book was written by an ex-Mossad officer. It's called The Other Side of Deception.
The Other Side of Deception. Okay, fine. Then we're certainly going to recommend it. Maybe we can even carry some of these books. I want the American people to know the real truth. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. We've got James calling from Santa Cruz. James, go ahead. James from Los Angeles. James, are you there?
That's me, yeah. The book that Phil had mentioned, I think, I just wanted to have a follow-up not only to that, but another aspect. But the book is, if it's the same one, By Way of Deception by the former Mossad operative Victor Ostrovsky.
Right.
That's the one, Phil?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the one, and that's an excellent read.
And what is his take on what happened?
Well, you know, with regard to the Liberty, Phil, do you want to give your perspective on that?
Go ahead, James.
Well, the thing is, he basically said that the Mossad had plotted operations against America for quite some time, all the way back into Lebanon with the Marine barracks situation where the Marines were blown up there. Tragically, he had said that Israel had known about it in advance, a wording to that effect from my recollection, and hadn't told us.
Yeah, well, basically, of course, there's another book called See No Evil by Robert Baer, who's a CIA agent. He says that our government knew about the coming attack, you know, on the Marine barracks there and on the American embassy in Beirut, and this was 1983. They knew it was going to come, and they did not protect our Marines. So, I mean, it's all in your perspective. Certainly, I think that book, See No Evil, was the basis of one of the films put out by George Clooney. I think Syriana was the title of it. But, you know, it's fascinating, a fascinating story. The government knew they were going to attack the Marine barracks, and they didn't protect it exactly as the same way. One of their agents had actually planned the attack on the embassies in Africa, in both Kenya and in Tanzania, and after the attack, it was in 1998, and knowing full well that the attacks were going to come, and thousands of people were going to die, they did nothing to stop it. So it's the same story over and over again, James.
Exactly, and there's one other aspect to bring up here as well with regard to what Phil was talking about with the Liberty and perhaps blaming it on Egypt so it would bring us into the war to basically take down Israel's archenemy there, Egypt. Look back to the 1950s with the Lebanon affair. You had Israeli operatives plotting to blow up installations in Egypt, theaters and such that were frequented by the British and Americans that were in Egypt at the time. And they wanted to make it look like Egyptian Arabs had done it and then basically have us go to war with Egypt So that was already in play in the 50s, and the only way that that was actually thwarted was one of the bombs, was one of the Israeli terrorists went off, and then we found out that it was linked all the way to Pincus Levon, who was a senior government official in Israel. So there's a history of this, and now if you want to look into...
Hold that thought for just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Phil Turney. And, of course, we have a caller from Los Angeles. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, James calling from Los Angeles is mentioning that there have been a number of instances where the Mossad has actually plotted things, supposedly, against the best interests of the United States, that they had known ahead of time about the bombing of the Marine barracks in Beirut in 1983. Of course, I pointed out that in the book, See No Evil, written by an American CIA agent, that the American government had also known about that and did nothing to protect the Marines, and over 240 Marines died in that attack. So go right ahead, James, before I let you go. Do you have anything else you'd like to say?
Sure. Well, that official in Israel, if you can Google this, it's Levon Affair, L-A-V-O-N, and his first name was Pincus Levon.
Right.
And there's a history of this, and then just I'll close with bringing it up to current times. The war in Iraq, that's a war for Israel. It's in accordance with the Jinsa agenda. Colin Powell has even said that the Jinsa crowd, you can look it up in Washington Post correspondent, her bio book about him, Karen DeYoung is her name, and you look up Jinsa and Index, and Colin Powell says that the Jinsa crowd is in control of the Pentagon. Now, if you look up what the Jinsa agenda is, it basically it is these Israel first fifth columnists in our government that want us to fight wars for Israel. They wanted to start with Iraq, wind all the way around, taking down the enemies of Israel along the way, Iran, Saudi Arabia, regime change in all these countries. Cool. And guess where the prize was? Egypt. So Egypt has been an arch enemy of Israel for quite some time. Right now, they're being bought off after Camp David, you know, with the $1 billion a year that they get from Mubarak to basically look the other way at what Israel's doing to brutally oppress the Palestinians. Mm-hmm. But eventually, they'd like to do regime change there.
James, do you hate the Jews?
No, of course not.
Of course, all right. Fine. Thanks so much for calling, but of course, I hope you'll listen to our program because we point out that there is a satanic force working at the highest levels of the Israeli government. There really are Satanists out there. They worship Satan. They're also working at the highest levels of our government. And that is the force that we really oppose, this satanic force in the world, rather than any racial group of people. But, hey, thanks so very much for calling. Telephone number, yeah, go right ahead. Telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Go right ahead, Phil.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Stan. I apologize for breaking in on you.
No, that's all right.
I just wanted to mention on a follow-up book of Ostrowski's is The Other Side of Deception. And in that book, he mentions how Israel was planning to assassinate George H.W. Bush and blame it on the Arabs.
Good.
You know about that?
I don't know if that's true, because we've heard the same thing, that Saddam Hussein was planning an assassination. I really don't know, but I do know that there are satanic forces working at the highest levels of all of the governments of the world today. And, of course, but certainly I think that right now we're facing the possibility, the very real possibility, we're moving into World War III. And I think that the American people must understand that so much of what's going on is being manipulated, but there's long-term planning. We're talking about decades of planning going into all these various things that are happening. There's a master timetable, and we're right on schedule, but I've really tremble for my country. I reflect that if God is just, he's going to bring justice. He's going to bring terrible things on our nation. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I'm sure there's some wicked people working within the Mossad, but then I'm sure there's some wicked people working within the CIA. So which one are we going to condemn?
That's a hard one to answer. But
I think we have to condemn them all because they're wicked people.
I would condemn either or. I don't care what country it is. I would condemn them. No doubt about it. But you mentioned this country's in bad shape. The whole world's in bad shape.
Right.
Israel's been selling arms to Georgia. for the last 7 years.
And that is the most incredible story. You know, really, the fact that Israel and the United States have been arming and training Georgia, and of course a lot of their weapons that Georgia's bought have been bought from Israel, probably with funds coming out of America. We know that certainly George Bush has recently offered, we're going to give Georgia $1 billion, and I think they're going to get another $750 million from somebody else, and I'm sure that's going to be used to build up their military so where they can have another confrontation with Russia. But the American had built up the Georgia government there, that created the revolution. It's called the Rose Revolution in Georgia, and then we trained the military. And then we suggested, we gave them the full authority to go ahead and attack South Ossetia, and then, of course, the Russians counterattacked. I think this is all being used to justify a war with Russia. Right now, we're sending supplies in, you know, to Georgia, but instead of using supply ships, you're using U.S. military ships. Why would you want to send military ships into a potential area where they get into a confrontation with the Russian ships, unless the leaders of our government want to get us into a war with Russia, which doesn't make any sense? Who would possibly win with a nuclear war that could devastate much of Russia and devastate much of America? But I think that you can't understand any of this till you understand what happened with the Liberty, because I think if the people understood the Liberty and what had happened there, they might be able to understand what's going on today and all the ramifications of the unfolding story. Would you agree or disagree?
I would agree with you 100%, and God had his hand, you know, and he saved Liberty 41 years ago.
Right.
You know, he prevented us from going to the bottom. I just hope that he prevents a nuclear holocaust that we're looking at right now. And as you said, sir, sending a ship into a war zone, and it is a war zone in Georgia there, we're thumbing our noses at the Russians, and the Russians have enough nuclear weapons, as we know, that can destroy the world within seconds.
And I think people have to understand that while we have been unilaterally disarming, the Russians have kept their nuclear warheads to the point where they have 10 times as many as we have here in the United States. The Russians have 10 times another nuclear warheads than we do. Why would anybody do anything that stupid? Why would we be unilaterally disarming and then funneling money into Russia so they can build up their military potential? So much of this doesn't make sense from a logical point of view.
Right. Well, let me ask you this, Doctor. If you would look back 8 years ago and try to predict something, would you would have ever imagined in your wildest dreams what one man, the President of the United States, has done to this country in 8 years? Would you have ever believed it?
When I met George Bush, I thought he was probably the worst possibility for the President of the United States, that he was elected to destroy the Republican Party, to destroy our patriotism, to destroy the very foundation of our country, and he's lived up to all of my expectations. But the thing is, of course, that Phil, George Bush is not a very smart person. I've met him, I've shaken hands with him, I've talked to him, I've looked him in the eye, and I will tell you I didn't trust him, but he is not a smart individual. It is the people behind George Bush that we have to worry about, the people like Dick Cheney, who's a member of the Trilateral Commission, whose wife is a member of the Trilateral Commission. He himself is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, longtime member of the CFR. He was actually on a committee to find the most capable person to become the President of the United States, and you know what he found out? He said after examining everybody in the entire world, he was the most capable individual, and that's why they picked him to be Vice President. If you believe that, you believe anything. Of course, George Bush was told who was going to run the country, and it's Dick Cheney, it's not George Bush. So, I mean, George Bush is simply a tool in my estimation. He is a pawn of the power brokers who really rule the world today. And I believe these people are inherently evil. I believe that they were the ones behind the sinking of the Liberty. And they're the ones behind getting us into, of course, in Iraq and Afghanistan. They were the ones who took us into a no-win war in Vietnam and sent the boys in to die at the Bay of Pigs, never, of course, to have a possibility of winning any more than we were allowed to win in Korea. And until people understand that all of these are make-believe wars, trouble is an awful lot of people die, until people understand that, none of this makes sense. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Our guest is Phil Trudy. And once again, Phil, I want you to tell our listeners how they can listen to your radio program and how they can get in touch with your website.
Oh, absolutely. You can go to republicbroadcasting.org on Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock Pacific time. And just go to republicbroadcasting.org, click it on, and you can hear the show live. And if you want to call in, just call in 1-800-313-9443. And our website...
You always have to give the telephone number twice on the radio. One more time.
Okay, it's 1-800-313-9443.
Okay, fine.
And the website is usslibertywordpress.com. And if I may comment on your last few comments there a few moments ago, I tell you what, if anybody gets it, you do. You really get it. You know what's going on.
Well, I've been at this for 46 years, Phil, and certainly...
I'll tell you, I hope you keep on preaching as long as you can, because you've got her down pat, I'll tell you.
Well, I'm going to be 80 here in February, but I hope the Lord will keep me around for a time, and certainly we're fortunate to have a voice. And right now we've got Mark calling us from Idaho, so let's go to Mark here once again. Our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And Mark, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yeah, actually, good evening, fellas. I am a good friend of Phil's, and I'd like to advance a theory here as to why we are seeing this build up to the war with Russia. And if you read Operation Sinai, you will see that there was a definite plan on the part of these people in Washington and Tel Aviv to get the United States and the Soviet Union basically involved in a war. Now, I think that what Israel
wanted... You're
talking
about back in 1967. They wanted us a war with Russia. I agree with you. Go ahead.
Absolutely. And so this day and age, I mean, people have to understand that the messianic mindset that exists in Israel... They believe that they are destined to rule the world. Now, if you have superpowers with which you have to compete, such as the United States and Russia, that you cannot defeat on your own, the easiest way to do this is to have them defeat each other, at which point you are the one left standing at the end. And I believe that this is what Israel wants to see happen. She wants to see the U.S. and Russia wipe each other out, either militarily or economically, leaving her in control of all of that oil.
All right, fine. Well, good. Mark, let's just assume that you're right. Maybe you could explain to me why it is that the leaders of Israel, specifically Mr. Olmert, who today is the prime minister, seem so intent upon destroying Israel. I mean, he's certainly going right along with what happened as far as the turning over Gaza to the Palestinians. And now, of course, I was done by the fellow who immediately preceded him, but he certainly kept this up. And now, then he's trying to do everything he can to turn Judea and Samaria over the Palestinians, and they've just gone along with followed the Oslo Accord. They've given them most of the land they had. If the Zionists really are as powerful as you say they are, why are the Zionists seem to be so intent upon destroying Israel today? In fact, they're talking even about giving a large part of Jerusalem to the Vatican, or a large part of the Jerusalem to the Palestinians. Why would they want to do that if they're really so powerful? Or is there other forces at work here that we don't recognize?
Well, as Phil mentioned, Viktor Shklovsky, the ex-Mossad officer, wrote two books, first of which was entitled By Way of Deception. Of course, this is Mossad's motto, By Way of Deception, Thou Shalt Do War. Now, I assume that everything that comes out of Israel, that Israel cannot tell the truth, even if there were a fortune to be made in it.
No, wait a minute. You mean Israel is a whole nation, everybody over there, is this honest, or is there just a small group that's dishonest?
Well, I'm talking about the way Israel has done business from the very beginning. It is a state that is founded on lies and terrorism.
And of course, then all the people there are part of it? Or just a small group of leaders?
I'm talking about the leadership.
So it's the leaders that basically are the wicked people, right?
Yes. Okay. However, back to your question involving Gaza and the West Bank and whatnot. This is what's known as a feint or a sleight of hand.
They're just trying to confuse us here in America that this is really not going on, but they're trying to make us believe it's going on.
Of course. They do this kind of thing all the time. They always have.
Okay. Anything else you want to say?
Other than it's a great show tonight, and I thank you very much for having my good friend on tonight.
All right, fine. Thanks very much, Mark. Appreciate your call. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Well, of course, I happen to believe that there really are satanic forces in the world. I believe that they are working at the highest levels of the Israeli government. I believe they're working at the highest levels of our government. I believe they're working at the highest levels of the Russian and the Chinese communist government. And why do I say that? Because I read what they say. They actually publish and they will tell you what they're all about. If any of you haven't seen the little pamphlets being distributed by the Lucis Trust, used to be the Lucifer Publishing House, but it's called The Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy, just give us a call. We'll be glad to send it to you free of charge. Our number 1-800-544-8927, but you don't want to hear me. You want to hear Phil's attorney because we've only got a few more minutes with him. Phil, what's the message you would really like to leave with our listeners tonight?
Thank you. The message I would like to leave is that the USS Liberty has a message out there for everybody. And the message is that if you listen, if you look at history and what has happened to us, we do have a chance to change this country and possibly keep it out of a nuclear war. Now, if our government, if the people that run our government, senators, the congressmen, if they would just to go ahead and investigate this and get it over with and get the secrets out and let them know what we've been doing, and let's just quit giving aid to everybody in the world, and let's just take care of America. Let everybody else, I mean, we can be friends with everybody, but we don't have to feed everybody.
You're absolutely right. We don't have to send all the money over to Israel or to Egypt or to all these other countries.
Absolutely, sir. You're exactly right. I mean, just like George Washington said, you know, you cannot get a third party involved with your politics or you're in trouble. And we're in deep trouble now because of what we've done around the world. And look at us, all the wars we're in. We're about ready to go to Iran. I mean, we can't stand much more. We're broke. And they just bought out Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. What'd they buy it with? Baloney money. I mean, how are we ever going to pay everything back in this world we owe?
Well, I think that the answer is we're not going to pay back because there's no way in the world they can pay all the debts that we have. We're talking about, here in the United States, debts of about $100 trillion, taking into the state and municipal debts and the county debts and the local bonds, and then of course the massive amount they promised to put out for Social Security and Medicare and for the medical drug benefits, and then there's just no way that there's enough money. That's on top of that, you got the federal debt, which we acknowledge, and then there's an extra $2 trillion they're going to put out to back up Fannie Mae. There's nothing. They're just going to have to destroy our currency. But the best thing to do is to have a war. And then you can blame on the wicked Osama bin Laden, or you can blame it on anybody you want to. But in the final analysis, of course, why that you do away with the debt, and it's all their fault. It's Osama bin Laden's fault, never the fault of the people who control our government. And I really believe, Phil, that I share your concern. We are headed towards a world war, and the American people have no idea what's going on. Well, Phil, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program, so I'm going to let you go ahead and you just take the next 3 minutes. Because if you do talk radio all the time, I know that you're able to manage that. Go ahead.
Okay, I will. Thank you very much, and thank you for having me on your show, and I certainly appreciate it. And as I said before, you know, listening to you, and you're such a wise man, I'm very honored to be on your program, and everything you said I agree with. I haven't really talked to so many people that are as intellectual as you are as far as going back. You went back all the way to Korea, and you're exactly right. And you went back to World War II, you're exactly right. So I respect your thoughts and your views very much. But what I really want to say about American, and I'll go back right back to the USS Liberty. They got by with it. Our country got by with deception and a collusion to kill Americans and blame it on another country. Now, if they did it once, they'll do it over and over and over again. They did it with the Pueblo, and look what they did to those guys. They did it with the Liberty. And how many other liberties out there that have happened that we don't know about, have never heard about? There's probably hundreds or thousands of them. And we can't allow this government to take our young men and women, as they're doing now, and since the Iraq war started, there's over 4,000. I think last week it was 4,146 that have already been killed, not counting the tens of thousands that are wounded, and wounded mentally and scarred physically for life. And for what? We're no better off now than we were when the war started. And now we're sending more people into Afghanistan. And what are we going to fight next? Pakistan? It looks like it's headed that way. Are we going to fight Russia? It looks like it's headed that way. This country is in so much trouble, but people are too interested in watching football and watching TV and not worrying about what's going on, instead of taking a hold of our own government by the seat of the pants and saying no more. And we're allowing it. I mean, we're allowing this to happen, and we can't do it.
We've got to get the American people concerned. And the only good thing I can say is that as the economy collapses, at least some of them are going to begin to listen, and hopefully our listeners are going to be out there, and they're going to have the knowledge that they can explain to them what's happening financially, and it's all part of the program of betrayal of our nation. Phil, it's been great having you with us. I hope you're going to be on some of our other networks. Fortunately, we have three networks we do every day, and part of our 5 hours. And looking forward to talking to you again real soon. Thanks so very much.
Thank you.
For loving America as much as we do. Good night. God bless. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Phil Turney. He's an American patriot. He's been willing to risk his life after being threatened by a United States three-star admiral that he would go to prison or worse if he ever told the truth. But now he and the other members of the USS Liberty are having the courage to come forward. We're going to, of course, this talk this evening is going to be available. We're going to put together a four-tape set on the USS Liberty. We're going to get some of the DVDs and get some of the books that are available. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, we're involved in a spiritual battle. There really are satanic forces out there. They're working at the highest levels of both the Republican and the Democratic Party. Certainly they are working within the Israeli government. There are these sects, and you have to understand, they're working within the Catholic Church, they're working within the Protestant Church, they're working within the Jewish religion. There is a spiritual battle going on for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And you're going to have to be involved on one side or the other, because believe me, there is no neutral ground. And those who will not be involved will be destroyed. And unfortunately, this is what's coming down the line. You need to understand that they plan to start out by destroying a quarter of the population of the world. And if you haven't heard my talk on Nundare College genocide, or on planned population reduction, or if you'd like the pages out of Barbara Marx Hubbard's book, where the Revelation, the Book of Co-Creation, the original manuscripts, which we have, we'll be glad to send it to you if you call and request it. That's Barbara Marx Hubbard's book, where she talks about the necessity of killing a quarter of the population of the world, and she goes on to say, that is not your job, my dear. That is ours, for we are the riders of the pale horse, death. And I got somebody sent me an email the other day and says, this isn't true. Well, I've got the pages. I got them from several sources. This is exactly what we're talking about. And she's one of the wealthiest women in the world today. That's her book. And what it was republished and cleaned up, and to take those bad phrases out, it was republished by the Lawrence Rockefeller Endowment for the Humanities. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, some of the most wealthy and powerful people in the world have sold their souls to the devil. If you haven't seen the DVD, they sold their souls for rock and roll. You need to get it, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. The 3-hour, the 4-hour, or 10-hour version of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. You need to hear my talk on Forbidden Secret and get the syllabus that goes with that. And then the sequel, A Secret Knowledge. You need to get our talk on Planned Police State and the syllabus that goes with that. You need to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, because this really ties it all together. It's easy to read. You can watch it on the Internet at RadioLiberty.com under videos, The Brotherhood of Darkness. But we hope you get the DVD and the book and the tape and duplicate them and get them out, because people have to understand the true nature of the battle we're involved in. This is not simply evil at the upper echelons of the Israeli government. It's organized evil at the upper echelons of the American government that permeates our media, that permeates our government, that permeates our churches, that permeates our military. And the military men who have compromised the truth and threatened our servicemen with death or imprisonment if they told the truth, those men are going to be held responsible. But fortunately, there are a lot of good people out there, and we need to reach them. And, of course, when push comes to shove, we need to hope and pray they're going to be on our side. Well, our number again, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our programs, you can watch our videos, you can read our newsletters, and, of course, you can get the list of all the books we have. You can, of course, get information there on the healthcare products you're going to need, on the food products you're going to need, on the water purification products you're going to need for the difficult times that lie ahead. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, our telephone, our webpage is radioliberty.com. So please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. We're on the front lines of this spiritual battle, for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And then, of course, pray for our country, pray for revival, pray for our ministers.